You can be forgiven of your past, but still have an unfixed past. Forgiven and fixed are two different things, and sometimes people confuse them at salvation. Being born again will change your relationship with God, but won't necessarily change your relationship with your family, the courts, the IRS, the law, a judge, a probationary officer, even Visa, a collection agency, a halfway house, and even a bad marriage. At least not immediately. You are forgiven, but not fixed yet. Let me give you a scenario. If you robbed a bank and got saved after that, are you forgiven and really going to heaven? Yes, of course. Are you going to jail? Yes, of course. Are you innocent since you are forgiven? Nope, doesn't work that way. You are forgiven, but you may have a past that still needs to be fixed. You could be going to heaven and going to jail at the same time. God's forgiveness always exonerates in the courts of heaven, but not guaranteed in the courts on earth. Salvation forgives sin, past, present, and future, but it does not resolve them. This is such an important issue that a whole book of the Bible is devoted to it. A 25-verse book, which is the best and most practical help on this issue, it's called Philemon. The verses will pop off the page when I give you the background. We have three characters in the story. Paul, who is in prison, is the aged apostle and the writer of the letter. Philemon is a Christian who had a slave who ran away and has the church in his house. Onesimus is the slave who ran away and who gets saved while he's trying to get lost among the residents in Rome. In the first century, 2 million of the 5 million people in Rome were slaves. To purchase a slave was very expensive. There were 120 occupations for them. Some were executives and had salaried positions. Most slaves served between 10 and 20 years and usually were free by the age of 30. But if a slave ran away, it was like he was committing suicide. It was punishable by death or by branding the letter F on his head, which stood for the Latin word fugitivus. Bottom line, Onesimus ran away. Bottom line, by law, he can be killed or branded. Paul knows this, Onesimus knows this, and Philemon knows this. While Paul is in prison in Rome, guess who he meets? Onesimus. And guess who Paul leads to the Lord? Onesimus. Now we come back to our original thought. You can be forgiven, but your past still unfixed. So Paul has to write a letter and send Onesimus back to Philemon with that very letter. Listen to some of Paul's letter to Philemon. It's a masterpiece. Here it is, verses 10 through 16. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I've sent him back to you in person, that is sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and even in the Lord. Jesus has forgiven Onesimus. But the question is, will Philemon forgive Onesimus? Paul doesn't mention the name Onesimus in the letter for 9 verses. I want you to keep this in mind. This letter is being hand-delivered. The Jerusalem Postal Service is not doing it, but the subject of the letter is Onesimus. I wonder if he knows exactly what is in the letter as he's coming back to Philemon, his boss. Commentary writer William Barclay says, Christianity never entitled anyone to default on debts. Paul leads him to the Lord and then leads him to address his debt issue. The IRS, the police, the outstanding credit card and collection agencies, for the Christian, all these have to be addressed with an Onesimus letter. Don't call your irresponsibility a trial that God is going to get you through. Irresponsibility is fixed by integrity, not a miracle. You address the unresolved, not rebuke it. That's what the letter to Philemon teaches us. Paul writes in verse 21, I am confident as I write this letter that you'll do what I ask and even more. Paul is saying you may be heating up the branding iron with the letter F on it, but I'm asking you to put it down. I want you to forgive him. That's the F I want you heating up, but in your heart. Onesimus was useless when he was in verse 11. He stole from Philemon in verse 18, but here's the game changer. He's now a brother in Christ, not just an employee. Now the big question, what's the end of the story? No one knows. The Bible does not tell us if Philemon forgives him or if Onesimus lives. I want to make a guess from something I saw in church history book. In Earl Cain's Christianity Through the Centuries, he writes these words. Some 50 years after Philemon was written, just on the heels of the apostles, was the church father Ignatius, martyr on the way to his death. He was allowed to write letters of encouragement, and one of those letters was written to the church in Ephesus. And in that letter, he makes mention of their pastor in Ephesus. His name? Onesimus. A coincidence or a miracle? Did the runaway slave become a pastor? Did the man who tried to hide out in Rome find himself leading the church in Ephesus? You may say that's a big stretch. That's a tall order. If an ex-murderer can write most of the New Testament letters, then I think this is feasible with God. Wait, that ex-murderer is the writer of this Philemon letter. It's the Apostle Paul. Jesus says it like this: with people, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.